Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for Pastor John just said, the first day of the week, Lord, where we can start a brand new week with you. That we start fresh, Father, in your word. Father, remembering that we have your Holy Spirit in us. Father, Satan is defeated. And that's our victory, Father, that we can claim because of the cross. Father, we ask you to empower us with your Holy Spirit, to be able, Lord, to be attentive for, just switch, Lord, to academic instruction and just worship you in that manner. And we come bold before your throne of grace, Father, with our hearts ready to serve you. Father, by listening to you and living words of the scriptures and what the Spirit has to say to the churches. We ask all this in Jesus' name, our Savior. Amen. Well, since we are actually celebrating the Lord's table today, you know, I'm always fascinated with the cross. You know, there's many aspects of the cross. And today we're going to speak about three of these aspects. And I think that we always, when we think about the cross, what do we think about the cross? How do you see the cross? How do you picture the cross? You know what I'm saying? Because some people might just see that cross there. But many people died on the cross in the Roman time. That was the way of, that was their electric chair, basically, as we know in the United States. But a lot of people hang, in fact, they hang them at the entrance of Rome, because there were so many rebels that they wanted, you know, destroy Rome. Basically, they want to take, overpower Rome, and that was their, basically, the punishment. And but wow, what's the difference on the cross of Christ? You know, when you picture the cross, when you think about the cross, what do you picture? What do you see? What do you understand when you see it? Because it is more than just a piece of wood. You know what I'm saying? So, but we see the need to save mankind. That's basically the first thing that comes to your mind. The need for our salvation. You know, all the way, the doctrine of the cross, it comes from what Jesus Christ did in that cross. All the way from, we always say eternity past, but there is no time. You know, God doesn't have eternity past, eternity present, and the future. For him, it's all into one. The Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. The Old Testament believers, when they sinned because of the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world, actually God the Father sees that, and they didn't get the full discipline that they need. The soul that sins is done away with. You know what I'm saying? But God didn't do that to them because of the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. If you can grasp that, you know, it's so tremendous. It's so deep. It's a huge mystery in God. Huge. We can't grasp what even just himself coming to earth. You know what I'm saying? We can't grasp that. The omnipresent God could not have died had he not become human. Because we can't kill God. Mankind cannot kill God. Pilate did not kill God. The Jews did not kill God. You see what I'm saying? Because God cannot die. Satan thought that if Christ, he can tempt Christ to throw himself, he can commit suicide and do that. He knew that God wouldn't die. Because when he was on the cross, he says, "It is finished." He gave up his life. It wasn't taken from him. When the soldier came in, shoved that huge spear on his thigh, he was already dead. He already says, "It is finished." He gave up his only life, his life, for all mankind. That's our God. Mankind cannot kill Christ. it is so kind of controversy what you hear anymore, you know, the Jews kill Christ, you know, that mankind, Pilate. God says, you have no power more than you have given to. That's why he told Pilate. God is above the whole thing. But eternity past, like Mr. Pastor Mike always says, time is one dot. But all started all the way from the garden. When they disobeyed God. They tried to do without God. That was the issue. They tried to do without God. So, his eternal love was shown by making eternal life through the cross. That's what God says. Okay, this is the cross. It is necessary for me. I am the God that created this whole universe, but I'm going to become mankind so I can be on that cross. Therefore, I can take my life out, basically out. I can die for all of you. That's the only way it can be done. Now think about that. That's the only way that Christ can actually take his life, set it aside, die for us, so all of us can be saved. There's no other way. That's why when in Isaiah or Jeremiah says, who should we send? Nobody was available. Nobody is worthy to do it. Nobody is worthy to do it. None of us is worthy of doing it. None of us. So the necessity of the cross comes all the way from the fall of man. All of the efforts deal with the consequences of their disobedience. They disobeyed God. God says, do not do this, and they did. And they did. So all of their disobedience came to nothing. Adam and Eve made aprons of fig leaves. In fact, I'm so sorry, could you give me this little bag here? I'm going to show you what mankind can do. I went in my little garden this morning. This is a fig leaf. They tried to make this one for Adam, this one for Eve. And that's the fruit. Okay, so they try to make aprons out of this. That's all that mankind can do. You see what I'm saying? And God says, no. What's going to happen in a couple of days? This cannot cover your sins. God had to make a sacrifice for mankind. I mean, they were clever with them, you know what I'm saying? But that wasn't sufficient. God had to sacrifice two animals to cover their sin. Something has to die. Somebody has to die. Christ had to die. Now think about that. Because of two people's disobedience. But because of those two people's disobedience, it was already in eternity past, which there is no past. I'm just trying to, so we understand that. In eternity past, where the lamb was slain before the foundations of the world. And God, not in his own knowing, he also knew that this will happen. But he never pushed his volition towards them. They made the decision. Now think about Satan. Satan says, if I can destroy those two, if I can make them sin just like I did, God is also going to send them to hell, and Christ doesn't have to come. See how smart he was? That's why when they sin, God rushed to them. And he says, Adam, where are you? And here's Adam, hiding with his fig leaves. And he says, where are you? Oh, we were afraid. And he hid. And guess what? You did the same thing. Fear. That's why it's so important when we are not walking by the Spirit, we have fear. When you are making a decision and you have fear, it's because God is not in it. God is not a God of fear. When you have peace making a decision, God is in it. Because that's how God is. It's a God of peace. It's not a God of fear. So they try basically to cover themselves with fig leaves, but it wasn't sufficient to cover their problem. And they hid from God, but there was nowhere to go and hide from the omnipresence of God. Where can we hide from God? We can't. We can go to the ocean, we can go to the woods. He is everywhere. They try to pass the blame on each other. Remember what they said? Well, the woman you gave me. And Eve says, the serpent deceived me. And God would have none of it. It was only when God provided a covering of His own that the problem was dealt with. The sacrifice would point men to the cross of Calvary, where Jesus Christ died for the sin of men. All of the efforts were pointless. He had to be God. All of the efforts to get over, I don't know how many leaves they got to cover themselves. But their efforts was pointless. He had to be God. He has to be God in our lives also. He is the one who can deal with our problems. We were talking about the problems of this world. God is the only solution of our problems. He's the only one. Something had to die. He had the solution. Our self-effort will produce no change in our behavior and no healing to our souls. It won't change anything. Something had to die to produce a covering for Adam and Eve. Someone would have to die to make the payment for sin. Well, from the fall of man in Genesis 3:6, we see God's provision. Verse 21, we see basically all the way from chapter 3, verse 6, all the way to 21, where He made provisions for man. Point number one, man's problems were caused when Adam and Eve tried to do without God. They thought they can do it ourselves. We do the same thing today. And when we do that, we get in trouble. That's the old sin nature. It's not God's plan for our life. God wants to do it for us. We just have to let Him do it. He gave us His Holy Spirit to help us to go along with that decision. It is us. We have to do it. Two, men try hopelessly to remedy their problem. His problem. Fig leaves. Wouldn't work. It is only Jesus Christ to His cross who can provide the remedy. That was the answer right there. God had to do all what was planned. The Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. Then the revelation of God started then unveiling at that time. Think about that. God was waiting that time to show His mercy, to show His grace. It's just a matter of time. Without that, we wouldn't have seen the mercy of God. But the reason why we have position of truth is because of the cross. The reason why we have power over sin to be winners is because of eternal life. Without those two things, it's impossible. And whoever has eternal life shall never perish. Shall never perish. We can't even grasp that. We think of our lives on earth 80, 90, 100 years and we are afraid to die. Shall never perish. That's what the Bible says. No one can pluck us out of the love of God. Not even ourselves. You can try. But once you're in Christ, you are in Christ. Serious. Don't let the enemy deceive you. Because he will. So easy when he deceives us. Oh, look at you. You call yourself a Christian. Yeah? Believers, some of them go down the spiral because the enemy is talking to their ears. They want to tell them something that they are not, because they're doing it on the energy of the flesh rather than by the Holy Spirit. He who has the Son hath eternal life. The Bible says, he that believes on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. He says, but this spoke of the Spirit whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. That's found in John chapter 7, 38 and 39. But whosoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. John 4:14. The second point of the cross is the eternal value of the cross. In Revelation chapter 2, the Word of God speaks of a throne, a lamb, and a river or pure water, if you remember. Clear as crystal, flowing from the throne. This passage also mentions the tree of life on each side of the river in the midst of it. Just picture this. And the tree is right in the middle of it. We're going to see it because we're going to be there. No curse. There was just the throne of God, the Lamb of God, and the redeemed people. Put your name right there. The redeemed people. You are redeemed because of the blood. That's us. As believers, we can receive joy, happiness, and blessings that come from the throne, that river, because of the tree of life and the fruit that grows there. Remember, every month has its own fruit? That tree has a fruit each month. The past, the present, and the future from the beginning of time. God has spoken to the tree of life all the way from Genesis chapter 2, verse 9. To the years, I always love to ponder about that tree. I did a study about the tree. It's about, you would take 2 classes to go through it. It's a lot. It's all the way from Genesis, all the way to Proverbs, Psalms, Job, to Revelation. What the tree is all about. I was always fascinated by that tree. So, it's very important. In Revelation 2, looking at the river, there is nothing cloudy about it. It is all pure, all clean. And where God places a river, there is also a tree. In the garden, remember the garden? See, he puts all the things together. And also, I don't know, in the tabernacle, there are so many details there that talks about the garden as well. God wanted to dwell with his people. So he put pieces there in the tabernacle. You know, in our time right now, and also in eternity. The tree of life is all the way from the beginning of the world, all the way until we all see him. It's all revealed in there. That's his revelation. The mysteries of God in it. It's fascinating when you, once in a while, just pick up little things. You know, he teaches you these things. You say, wow! It's just amazing how he puts these things in there for you to see. I am the God. I am God. He puts it all there. And 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24 calls the cross that held Jesus the tree. Okay? And though it cost him his life as a man, he was indeed a tree of life for all mankind. That's the cross. It's not just a piece of wood. It was a tree of life. What he has done for you, and also what he has done for me. Everything was nailed on that cross, that tree of life. One aspect of the tree of life is the one side of the river refers to the cross that takes care of all the things of our yesterdays. In the middle, all the things of today. On the other side, all the things for tomorrow. So he took care of everything on that cross, from our past, our present and our future. He died for our sins, for the past, for the present, and also for the ones we're going to commit in the future. And He gave us 1 John 1:9. That's our God. That's our God. God's tree of life takes care of everything pertaining to guilt, sin, failure, headache, wounds and bruises that other people have given us because of our belief in Christ. He has removed all that from us. That's why we're not supposed to bring any guilt on us anymore. Things of the past, we are not supposed to bring them to the present. It is an abomination when we do that. The Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. Christ was crucified on the cross. Everything was placed on Him at that time. Everything is done. It is finished. To bring it back is a slap on the face of Christ. It's gone. God took it and He threw it away as far as the east is from the west. It's very far. Extremely far. Christopher Columbus took him about 3 months to travel from Italy to... And he didn't even see a portion of it. It's too far. We can't do it. Regardless of what we have done, regardless of how we have failed, we have that tree of life. Thank God for that. Regardless how we have failed, and we all have failed, all have come short of the glory of God. The one who has not sinned, throw the first stone. I can see Mary pointing to Jesus. Hey, Jesus. Jesus had no sin. Only He could do it. He was the only one. Jesus could have taken a stone and throw it at Mary Magdalene. But instead of that, He chose to forgive her. Isn't that amazing? But He could have picked up a stone and done it. But He didn't. Because the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. Sometimes the Lord gives us a little nugget so we understand. Because we can understand the whole picture. It's too much for us. Only His Holy Spirit that lives in us helps to understand that step by step. Step by step. And once we meet Christ in heaven, He will reveal the full revelation. We're going to continue to learn just like what we're doing right now. We're going to continue to learn the deep secrets of God that we haven't finished learning yet. Even 4 years of college is enough. We're going to continue to learn even when we get to heaven. And it's going to be deeper. So get a thick book to write on. So, regardless of what we have done, it's all done away with. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 31, Paul says, I affirm by the boasting in you which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. I die daily. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 14, it says, but God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. But Paul was saying, I want you to know that I have received a tree of life, and God forbid that I glory in anything but the cross. That's what he's telling us. The cross takes care of my yesterday. The cross takes care of my today. And then there's a tree of life for me for my tomorrows, my future. The third point in the cross is my daily experience of the cross. That's a toughie. Because we were commanded to what? To get our cross and follow Christ. And sometimes we're obedient and sometimes we're disobedient. But we are commanded. And it's in the imperative mood. We're supposed to do it. It's a command from headquarters. The Bible says that the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world in Revelation chapter 13, verse 8. Now, not only was He slain before the foundation of the world, but it says that when the church age and everyone was in heaven, they were all gathered. John was in heaven and he saw the church age, the multitude. Okay? And no one was able to open the sealed book. And John said, I was weeping because no one was worthy to open that book. And the angel came and said, John, don't weep. Because the Lamb that was slain is worthy to open the sealed book and what it contains, the seven seals. The Lamb who was slain is worthy to open the book. No one was able to open it. The entire church age was present at that time, but no one was able to open it except Christ. So, when we take our cross daily, the eternal cross takes care of my everything in time, before time, because of the Lamb who was slain. The Lamb was there and will be glorified, and we will be glorified with Him. That's the beauty. As a bride of the church, we are going to be glorified with Him. We're going to be seated in the heavenly places with Him. Because He died on the cross, we die with Him. And because He rose again, we're going to rise again with Him. And He's seated already in the heavenly thrones. And we're going to be seated with Him in the heavenly thrones. That's you and I. This is just temporary. This 80, 90 years is just temporary. We are going to be spending eternity with the Holy God. We're going to see everything from Adam and Eve, just like Moses saw in Mount Sinai. We're going to see it. We're going to see the whole revelation. It's our future. Well, it was only when God provided a covering of His own that the problem will be dealt with. This sacrifice will point men to the cross of Calvary, where Jesus Christ would die for the sins of all men, all mankind. All of the efforts were pointless. It had to be God. It had to be God in our lives. He's the only one who can solve our problems. Our own self-effort will not get us far. Doesn't matter what we go to church every single day. If we clean the church every day, if we go and witness every single day, see what I'm saying? It won't save us. It had to be the cross. We do that as obedience, as love to the Lord, because He commanded us to do that. We do that. But all our deeds will not get us there. Not one good effort. And it's so sad that a lot of people are working for that, for their salvation. But it's not going to get them there. They're going to be surprised. They're going to say, Lord, we did this in Your name. Only God in His magnificent mercy, in His plan, put Himself on the cross, became Him, and then died for us. He says He took His life. He died. He says, and He basically gave the Holy Ghost. He did it. Nobody took it from Him. And guess what? 3 days later, He rose again. The scripture tells us what He did in those 3 days too. He descended to the inner parts of the world. Not to preach. But just to say, we have victory. He saw the Old Testament believers. But He also descended in hell to tell all the demons in Genesis chapter 6, what you guys tried to do didn't work. I am God. I am man and God at the same time. You cannot kill God. Sayonara, He left. You had to tell them the truth? Who got it? See, what we're going through right now is not between man and God. It's between Satan and God. But God uses men, us believers, to show, to prove Satan that we can actually worship God with our own free will. That's the whole ordeal with mankind. That's it. That's the beauty. And God is on our side. So we can't walk looking defeated. God is on our own side. If Satan cannot touch God, what makes you think he cannot touch us? If we're walking by the Spirit, he can't. Satan is defeated. Satan is defeated. And he knows that. When we walk side by side with God, Satan is defeated. When we walk in our own sin natures, Satan is defeated. We look at the cross and we say, Lord, I confess it. Menanoia, I changed my mind towards that sin. And he welcomes us again. Satan is defeated. All the things in our past, all the things in our future, in our present, and all the things in the future is on the cross. It is done. It is finished. He says, I am victorious over death. Death, where is thy sting? It's gone. Done away with. So, Satan healed. Basically, he bruised Christ on the heel, but Christ chopped his head right off, because Satan is no longer victorious. Right now he's just running around causing problems, but his days are numbered. His days are numbered. So, but it's all of what, who Christ is not based on who we are. It's all about the mercy. It's all about God's love. So, the fact that Christ died, we die with Him, and because we place our faith in Him, we are of Him, and no one can separate us from Him. We are Christ. And when we die, we see Him face to face. And that's just the beginning. And that was just the beginning, not the end, just the beginning. So I hope that as we see the cross, we have a different perspective of what the cross is. It's just not a piece of wood. It's all revealed all the way from the past, eternity past, which is no past, all the way to our todays and also our tomorrows, the tree of life. God loves the tree of life. He says, don't eat out of the tree of good and evil. Don't do that. I provide you the tree of life today. Eat from it. Cling to it. That's what we're supposed to do. Amen?